Just the three of us. Colin, Joe, and Mike. Just the three of us. Colin,
we Joe, Mike. We can do it if we try.
So, no Mike Davis for number 78.
What else is new?
Well, he was here. He was here last time.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. But he wasn't here the time before that.
Well, we'll just say that.
None of us.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you guys do your thing. I'll just keep it going. I'm just a mere conductor on this train of podcast. Number 78.
Yeah.
June 30th.
Our birth year.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
78.
Number one.
1978. It's starting to get kind of rough when I start plugging that into some of the programs that are like, hey, when were you born? And I'm like, scroll. It's so bullshit.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Wait, what's up with the variety of ways that they present that to you? Like, okay, I was born in 2015. No. Like, why is that the first fucking option?
Yeah.
And then also, why is 1900 the first option? Like,
yeah, that's a weird one. I noticed some of them more commonly are just hitting right at 18. It will be set to like 18 years old to the date. Okay. Have you ever seen that? So you press enter. And you're like, I'm 18, yes.
And I can't do math. Thank you.
Sadly, there's a part of me that's like, I'm like tricking the system. So I'm like, I don't feel comfortable saying I'm 18, even though it's like easiest way to get in. I don't know why.
I usually
stupid.
Don't even.
Mine's just like a slot machine. It's just wherever I stop when
I've done
I'm
that
scrolling.
Before. Yeah, I'm like, I'm 200 years old.
My birthday is always January 1st. And then like, whatever in the 70s I can get to. Like
October 37.
Yeah, yeah.
2056.
2056.
I've not even been born yet, but yes, I'm old enough to look at this content. Yes,
I came back
much.
In time to look at your website.
Oh, man. So speaking of like making sure you're a human being, you know some of those verification things they do? I found a new one today that was kind of interesting.
Okay, what did
so
it
So it's
do?
Like, it says, click here if you are not a robot. I'm like, okay. So I clicked it, and it's like, click the three things that has bread in it.
Oh, wow.
And I click three things with bread in it, and it's like, you're not a robot. Yeah. I was like, all right.
Thanks.
I was like, isn't that the like new one?
I actually like that a lot more, because when it's like garbled crap, and you're like, somorphophards, and you're like spelling it out, and it's like, you're a robot. Sorry, you can't
wrong.
Go. I'm like, that's not a word.
Wrong.
I
yeah,
think,
that's hard.
I think I remember reading that. That's going to become the new standard now.
Images?
Just that sort of deal. Like, they ask if you're a robot, and then be like, all right, find, you know, this. Or like,
well, it's multiple choice, though, so
I guess you could call it multiple choice. It's like just a bunch, like 9 pictures, and you click the ones that have bread or sushi or whatever it's asking.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess, you know, robots could hit on that every once in a while, but it's not.
I mean, what else would they hit on? Other than like a computer, you
exactly.
know what I'm saying?
Hey, baby.
What are you doing later?
How are you doing? Where's your bread, baby? Show me a sushi, baby.
That's a really good robot voice, by the way.
Yeah.
I should probably quit my day job and become a robot voice.
I like guy
over
and girl
guy.
Robots. I'm binary.
Imagine if robot voices of the future were just people doing robot voices.
Oh, God.
Probably.
You know what? I'm interested to watch this show on AMC called Humans.
Yeah, where they have those people that aren't humans.
Yeah, I guess cyborgs, or I don't know what
cyborg,
they are.
I thought, is part human, part robot.
Okay, well, they look like humans,
okay.
But they're... Or androids? I don't know what they're called. They're like they're called synths, so they're synthetics.
Synthetic, humanoid-like.
I read a little bit about it today.
They're just making up their own names.
It sounded,
just make up whatever.
It sounded interesting. So, AMC has so much good programming, and I figured I'd give it a shot.
Yeah,
but
it might be good.
I don't know.
Why not?
Well, this is a great segue. Actually, Daniel was going to ask this question, but he didn't text it over to me. But I do kind of know the premise.
Good thing you can read his mind.
Now we talk to him so often that he can
just
say something. And
just write it on his post-it and hand it to me. Yeah, or just write
he
it on
He could just
my
like,
hand.
You know, tap you on the shoulder.
Yeah,
practically.
Well, he's right behind me right now. Yeah. I tell him a few podcasts that I listen to. One of them is the TED Radio Hour.
Okay.
I like that one in comparison to the other TED Talks because. The TED Radio Hour takes a bunch of the TED Talks, edits them, interviews people, and then kind of combines the ones that like are in a subject together. So the most recent one was, I think it's like, do we need humans anymore? And it was basically the two sides of robots. So the first lady was the scientist who created this seal, this cute robotic seal. And she gave it to this older lady. She was in her 70s who lost a child. And it made these, you know, cute sounds, and it reacted to how, you know, commands to some degree, and she was connecting with it. And the second that the scientist saw this, she immediately thought this was wrong. So even though she's connecting with this robot, she's like, I completely eliminated this thing that should be a human-to-human type connection. So it was kind of like that was her one side of the story. There was another where they were talking about creating these robots that could be activated almost like Skype, so grandma could play with the kids, sit with this robot, throw the ball, talk to them, and it would still be Skype, but she could move and touch, and the VR like would basically, she could see the room and be there, which I thought was interesting. A little scary to have a robot in your house that can be remotely activated, but
yeah, what do they call those, like a remote presence?
Yeah. There was a bunch of stuff. I mean, they went over a bunch of things, and Daniel wanted me to ask you, like, what you thought about some of that stuff. I mean, some of them were a little bit more palpable. Obviously, these were more the extremes. Some were more like where it's going to go, how many jobs are going to be eliminated, which jobs should be eliminated for robots to take over, which shouldn't, you know, what apps and phones and things will do for us moving forward, and the amazing things and the horrible things that could happen. But
what you just said about the job stuff, I think that's, I mean, honestly, short of like, of, you know, AI, you know, sort of taking over the world, you know, doomsday sort of scenario. Like, I think that's really the most pressing thing when it comes to robotics is that, you know, we talk about, you know, good paying jobs in America. And they're like, where do they all go or whatever? And like, they've shipped them now to where the labor is cheap, but the coming alternative is now they won't even have to move them. They're just going to get rid of humans altogether.
Yeah.
So nobody, you know, nobody's making money. They've just got these autonomous robots.
We already went through a wave of that in like, let's say the late 70s and the 80s when the automotive industry automated a lot of their processes with, you know, robotics and stuff like that.
And it's just only going to keep, it's going to keep going.
It depends on the approach, because I think about my time at Chili's, and they came in with these convection type ovens, and it reduced the amount of people that could work in the kitchen. Like, you didn't have to have as many man hours.
By how many people?
It went by hours, so it's kind of like, okay, during peak hours you could have this many, and then it could reduce and gain. It was very, very mathematical, and you had to keep up on it. It was very much about controlling the middle of your profit and loss. And it was fascinating. And, you know, at one point you're like, okay, wait, I'm reducing jobs. The jobs are obviously there's less.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of it all, they're obviously making more money, which is opening more locations, which though it's less people, it's still like 80 more jobs that are happening. So it's like, it's weird.
Give and take.
You can obviously cut down on costs with these things, but a lot of times those companies are going to be reinvesting in more things that hopefully will have those people in there. I mean, you have to think in those terms only because that's what I've seen.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I've seen, you know, robots obviously go and they make cars, they make these things, but there's a lot of jobs that it's going to be tough. I think they can help make it easier and therefore make cash flow increase and then hopefully open up more stores. Adverse side, yeah, it could be they just take over.
The clarity and the vision of the Matrix, it kind of like really resonates with me, because it's like, I think the honest truth is that there's too many humans now. Like, there's just the planet Earth is really struggling, especially with what we're doing. I mean, if we weren't like burning fossil fuels and doing things that we are to the atmosphere and everything, obviously I think we could sustain life here better. But I mean, in order to make progress and keep going, I mean, it's just kind of a natural evolution in what we're doing, and I think we're figuring things out. But what I can't remember, but Hugo Weaving, his little monologue when he's talking to Morpheus, and he's like, "You're a virus," you know, like talking about the human race.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of true, because we are kind of a parasite on Mother Earth, you know, and it's like, okay, so robots are going to be eliminating jobs, which what are some people going to do? You know, like manual labor jobs and stuff like that, you know. They in years time it's just going to go away. There are positions that are going to be eliminated.
Yeah. Well, you know? The scary thing is in this TED Talk they talked about this this calculation they made with this basically this robot. It was a program, but it completely predicted the direction I think Apple was going to, like the penny, and that's scary because then all these analysts are like out of a job.
Yeah.
You know. That stuff is a little scary because then it's like, well, this isn't like some robot moving around and screwing in bolts and you know, or taking out the trash or doing right. something like that. Like, this is someone that's taking a job that people have to go to college to do.
Predicting futures.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it can go both ways. I think there's a lot of really, really cool things. The scary part for me, though, and history has told us this, like, it takes us digging ourselves into a huge hole until we start thinking about, oh, shoot, we can't do this, you know? And so what I'm scared of is, okay, yeah, we start reducing pollution and making better choices. And then as we're doing that, more and more robots are taking over. And then it's like, oh, shit, we can't have all this, too. Like, this is a mess. Like, it's so hard for humans to find balance.
Yeah.
And then if we did over time reduce the population at all, then we're going to have less warriors to fight the impending alien invasion.
Right, the invasion. So, I mean, Independence Day says
that. I mean,
July 4th is coming up, so.
Ah, shit.
You know,
that's why we play so many video games.
8 billion is better than 4 billion.
You talk about overpopulation. That book from Dan Brown, Inferno, talks about overpopulation. And really? It's scary. Because he bases a lot of his books off of, you know, some facts, and then, you know, he goes off on tangents with it, but... the overpopulation situation is scary, and they talk about the plague basically being such an important part of us because it reduced the population.
To the world's benefit?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's scary and it's horrible, but, you know, Mother Nature has a way of fighting things, but we're just getting so good at... you know, making sure that everyone can, you know, there's ramps for the handicap and there's medicines for people that are sick and old people are lasting longer, even though they're not part of like the
natural selection. It's crazy.
Exactly. Have you guys heard the predictions that they're making about, like, basically we're going to make ourselves extinct because
they're talking about
the negative mutations,
the sixth epoch of extinction now or something like that. I mean, we're obviously causing a lot of it, but then like people are talking about now, are we going to be part of it?
Well, stuff like, you know, like diseases like asthma and like things that, you know, in decades or, you know, a century or two centuries ago, whatever, those people would just die, unfortunately.
Yeah.
If they had asthma or they had things like that. Now we've cured them. Now those people are procreating and passing those genes along.
Right.
And so the gene pool is staying in the gene pool.
It's funny you talk about
where
that.
Otherwise it might, like, natural selection would have potentially wiped it out or, you know, minimized it.
I was just watching a little bit of Idiocracy last night, and the beginning scene has these two people with very high, like, IQs, and they just don't get around to having a kid. And then these,
because they're talking about it too much, and they're just trying to, like.
And then these dipshits like are just fucking like animals, and then they make fuck animals that fuck animals that just, and it just shows this idiot tree growing.
Yeah.
I mean, let's get down to the nitty gritty. The truth is like, yes, if you have asthma, there's a good chance you're going to pass it along. Those genes are going to be there no matter what. There's going to be people that are going to get that no matter what. Whether that's going to be spread or not, who knows? I mean, it still is a crapshoot no matter what.
Well, again, it wouldn't be, I'm sure,
as prevalent.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I get that. I get that. But yeah, I don't know. It's scary. It's scary.
It's funny that.
Kind of crazy.
I was thinking about that, the population thing the other day. Because, you know, I mean, like, China infamously has the, like, one child policy or whatever. Mm-hmm. Although I guess that's sort of been relaxed.
There was a certain thing when it comes to like a certain amount of girls you can have for a while there. There was some weird
stuff. They were just killing babies for a
while. Well, they do that too. But yeah, I think there's ways that you can get more than one child now. But I mean, like, their population's still
like on the black market.
Yeah. Exploding. Like, how, I mean, Yeah. You think like two people make one, like that's cut in half. Like how right. is why is there how is their population still fucking like growing yeah. exponentially? And then India is even worse. I mean, they're supposed right. to pass China up, you know, and they don't.
Well, it's too. Well, you're still adding one though. You know, it's like
that's true.
Every two is adding yeah, one, so yeah. it's still yeah, but. I don't know.
The scary part is you start thinking about that, like, you get into territories that have a lot of land, and, like, if these other places are overpopulating and everyone's trying to get to some place that has that land, like, what are we going to turn into when it comes to the borders? Like, we see that in sci-fi. Like, anyone try to get in, they're just, like, blasting them, and, like, no one gets into our awesome place that's not overpopulated. Like,
yeah.
what's that going to become? I know that's hopefully not a dark future, but... Well, there's a lot of potential.
Yeah, there really is.
You know,
there really is. All that science fiction becoming science fact. You know, it's like we're almost making it a reality.
There's something very dark that happened to me after I read Inferno. And Inferno, obviously, I just mentioned it is about overpopulation and some of the biblical stuff attached to it. But I noticed that, like, if people started getting sick or there was, like, conflicts in my mind, I'm like, good. Like, I hope this stuff, like, helps... slowly chip away at what's yeah. happening right now. Yeah. And I know that's a horrible way to think, but it was just something that kind of naturally happened because I was so scared of what I read.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, obviously I went and researched outside of that book, and it's very true what's going on. It's happening exponentially. So what's going to happen? I don't know.
It's also really scary because there's a lot. I mean, you look at, like, especially here in the U.S., like our political system, I mean, we're supposed to be the world leaders, you know, like we're, you know, if we change, like we can sort of
affect, like, the rest yeah, of the world,
influence
yeah,
influence the rest of the world. And it's like how reluctant so many people are in this, you know, in this country to
take away freedoms,
do anything positive. I mean, especially like, you know, with climate change,
that messes with your money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know. And we're going to fucking... I mean, like they say, you can't eat that money. Like, people are going to end up with all this money, mm-hmm. and the fucking planet's going
to
be dead.
The fortunate part is that people are finding ways to make money, towards the positive.
Yeah,
you know, like I read an article today
Elon Musk.
Exactly right. Even, you know, James Cameron, I guess, developed a solar panel system that. It tilts with the sun, like mimicking an actual sunflower.
Okay.
It's not like the pitch of the roof, or it has to be. You're only accumulating energy during certain times of the day, which seems so simple, right? But right. you know,
well, that's. I mean, that's one thing I've always thought about is like it seems that the technology is there.
Yeah,
and I know. Totally. Like, I know it becoming.
I think we're
going to
figure it out.
You know?
Yeah, I feel like it's hard for us to jump towards it.
Yeah,
you know?
If every building was like self-sustaining electrically,
yeah,
like imagine like what that would do. I mean, that would eliminate, you know, like 98% of the necessary electric grid.
Then, yeah. I think it's just return on investment. Like, people need to see that to like be able to be like, okay, I'm going to go for it. It was weird. I went for a bike ride with my dad. In Simi, and I know we went by a bunch of the schools, and every single one of the schools had panel after panel of, you know, obviously solar.
Yeah,
solar
state
panels.
Needs to save that money.
So
you know?
I asked him about it, and he said, yeah, it was something that I guess Ventura County, maybe it was Simi, but, you know, the Ventura School District said they needed to have it every school. And I was like, that good for them. But then it's like they just ditched it. So there's something to it that's not pushing the return on investment. And I really want to go in a positive direction with this because I feel like there is a lot of good news, but you know, we just move so slow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you know, I mentioned Elon Musk. You know, that battery that he just they developed for home the home or whatever. Like, I mean, that's a fucking huge step.
Brilliant.
I mean, that's part of the big issue is capacity, like energy capacity.
So explain this battery.
Well, it's a home battery, essentially. It's, you know, it's able to store up the energy from potential solar. Because I don't think it's the collection, especially here in some, you know, like Southern California, I don't think it's being able to collect enough energy that's the issue.
It's
but
storing
it's being,
it.
Yeah, successfully storing it.
Yeah.
And it seems like he's basically fixed that. Like, this battery is able to hold the energy that you would need.
Did you have you seen the product, Joe?
I haven't. No,
it's.
I heard about it, but I just wanted to.
It's super cool looking. It's about.
How big is it?
Yeah, it's like it's maybe 3 foot by 4 foot, if that.
Oh, okay.
And it's got like this curved shape. It looks really cool. You could picture it like in a garage, like, oh, what's that? A reverse osmosis like water system or something? Filtration system? No, it's a battery.
Fusion?
It's a solar.
It's a poop,
yeah,
poop filter.
It's a solar. It's a solar battery.
Yeah. See, there's a part of me that I think the reason why that's important is because then you're not connecting all this power towards the actual power company.
Yeah.
That's my parents have solar.
And
how it works is this city stores it, and whatever they basically, I mean, my dad would be able to explain it way better. He checks it out every day, but every time you go over a certain amount, like it, basically they store it and you get credit for it. So their bills are practically zero.
Yeah.
And then I think they even get checks at times.
Yeah.
Checks back. So, I mean, it totally worth the investment. I think they got their money back in like less than 10 years, which is great.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, but
I'm curious when I can't imagine it's going to be that long before that like becomes a lot more.
I just don't know why you wouldn't.
Normal. Yeah. I don't know.
You're sitting there looking up at this thing that's just spewing energy.
It's,
you know?
it's
just
lobbyists and everybody, you know, that with these power companies, I mean, there's so much money in
oil companies. Energy is the biggest
If I was in the energy business and, hey, we're harnessing this free energy, man, I would be pretty frightened and I could be like, hey, no, I put all this infrastructure in place. Like,
yeah,
they should probably.
Oh, it means the end of your business.
Well,
as it exists in that form.
Yes,
they need to pivot in some way. Yeah, exactly. Like, hopefully they can figure out a way to pivot and whatever infrastructure, I don't know. You know,
I mean, look at the cigarette companies. Now they have, you know, all the vaping, and honestly, they sell just as much nicotine in tobacco through that.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I know that's a horrible example.
People
but
are going to do what they want to do, you know.
Yeah, I just you look at like Ford and some of these different companies, and they're making like much way more hybrids and full electric.
Yeah.
Tesla. There's people that are going in that direction because they know that there's money there,
Oh, and the other cool thing was that the James Cameron thing. I just read this article today, but that he was going to go the way of Elon Musk, where once he has all his patents in place, like just because he wanted to be the author of them, he's going to open source
them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Tesla did, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's smart.
He's obviously wealthy enough.
He's loaded.
But genius people like that, like they let them make their money and then figure out how to improve. Mm-hmm. I think
there's a certain point where I'm just sure it's like, okay, I made a lot of money, great, check. Like
yeah.
Now what am I gonna
like,
do?
Hey, wait a second, I can
make a difference.
I know how to make money. Like I could keep doing that, but I could do something better than that.
Sure.
It's pretty neat.
Well, I just saw that the head of the EPA was on Bill Maher a couple weeks ago, and she was talking because they were talking about coal, and like Bill Maher, being Bill Maher, he's just like how is this still an energy source, like 200 years later, like how are we still sending people into a fucking mountain to dig up a rock and then we're burning it for energy? Like, how have we not moved past that?
They're very primitive.
And I guess the head of the EPA, she was basically saying that it's getting close to that threshold where like coal isn't going to be the best option for these companies anymore. Like with all the clean air stuff and everything out there, like it's just going to become
too expensive for them.
Too burdensome for them to continue with that, as a business model.
Is that because they're running out of resources or is that because it's actually more efficient to go clean air?
Well, yeah, I think,
and probably fines.
Or the fines, sure.
Yeah, because there's all that, pollution credit stuff and all that jazz. So it's just good. That's what they should do. Any super capitalist or any of those kind of guys would be like, no, you got to, we got to let them do what they want to do. But I mean, we need to do this. Like 200 years ago, I'd have been like, sure, go for it. That's the wave of the future.
Well,
that's how it's
cutting edge.
That's how America is going to get built. But we're past that point. Like,
do you think it's generational? Do you think once we get kind of like some of the kids like us that have seen it and know like it's bad, going up and...
Oh, hey. I think when we're... When our generation is like the elderly generation, it's... I think it's going to be totally different. I think, you know...
In a good way?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
I think... Because I don't know. I feel like, you know, as much, you know, crap as like people my age and even younger get for being, you know... Like not caring about this or that, and like they actually do in a way. It's just their own way. It's like, and you know they're gonna be like, I think when we grow up to be that age, nobody's gonna be. There's gonna be nobody left that's gonna be like, yeah, coal's a good idea.
Yeah,
and like I can make money off of it, so let's do it.
It's tough though. I think we see ourselves through kind of an interesting filter being in California.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, California is very liberal. They're ahead of the game. You know, we have Title 24 when it comes to like lights. And like harvesting light and not wasting energy. We have all these things. So when it comes to like labor, we're kind of ahead of the curve with everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, you go to like Texas and they're pretty conservative, you know, and they, you know, you can just see it like all my friends, you know, like people like gay marriage, like you can see the people that are in different states that are friends with you that have certain perspectives. It's different than a lot of the people that are born in California. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, until they live, you know, 2 miles from a plant and they start getting, you know, everybody in their neighborhood starts getting cancer
or,
you know, starts getting some sort of diseases or something like that.
Yeah, I don't
know
how many...
And then suddenly their mind changes, you
know? It doesn't matter how many credits you get or little checks you get from the government. Like, once you start getting sick from, like, fracking or anything like that, I'm sure you're not too into it anymore.
Yeah.
No.
So... Well, I hope for the best, and I really do think we're going to go in the right direction. Sadly, I think we get pushed. I think we get pushed a little too far to the edge until we start making decisions. Sadly, so
that's very slow moving.
With the environment stuff, I mean, it's like, you know, I'm no scientist, but it's like they have no reason to tell us that like we're reaching like you know critical you know. Point here, you know, at the environment or whatever. So it's like, do we really want to keep going with this and like see how far we can push it? Because I mean, we might not be able to get it back. You know, shoot, we may be there already. You know, like we never know. So it's
It could be like what was that one movie?
Mad Max. No.
Well, yeah, it definitely could be like Mad Max, Snowpiercer, where they tried to stop global warming with those missiles, and it ended up just doing global freezing.
Yeah.
And it just, have you seen that movie?
No.
Oh, man. It's
wait, how do they
we have to go to extremes to do
so
it.
So they basically use this chemical, and they shot these missiles up to stop global warming. Instead, it just...
Blocked greenhouse gases and the whole...
Exactly. Oh, instead, it just froze the whole planet. Wow. And the only ones that survived were the ones that got to this, like, propelled self-sustaining train that this like rich psycho made basically.
Yeah.
And it's called Snowpiercer. So
what a weird premise.
It's cool. Interesting because then inside like
but it's
from
like
the back
war
of the train,
inside,
back of
like...
the train is like all the poor and way in the front is the ultra rich.
The whole society exists inside that train.
Yeah, so they're just like locked in positions. They've been there for like 20 odd years or something, maybe more.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it if you want to borrow it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's actually it's on Netflix.
I think it is.
Check it out. But yeah. So we didn't get to
Thank you.
Yeah, he's gonna forget that we switched that off.
We should just be double fisted.
Colin just switched off Mike Davis's mic just so that we weren't hitting it, and Mike's gonna come in here and talk his ass off the next time he comes, and none of it's gonna
get
recorded.
Hear a lot of,
you know what would be interesting is possibly on the playback, maybe there'll be some white noise that comes through here. Maybe the spirit of Mike Davis
maybe
been chiming in,
just talking.
Yeah, maybe. So speaking of Mike Davis, I found a very cheap copy of Diablo 3 for Xbox One.
Oh, snaps.
And that I purchased.
So is that going to prompt him to jump
I don't
on?
Know. I hope so.
How cheap was that copy?
It was $15.
Where?
Yeah, Amazon. It was one of like the new used. It was one of the weird.
Oh, wow.
So I found
I've been
copy.
Dying to play that on the One just because, you know, I know it'll run so nice.
So I got that. I'm hoping that will prompt him to
He hooked it up yet?
No.
Well, I want to know what's going to prompt you to actually pop that in because I mean,
I actually almost did when I got home today.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm a little burnt out on that game.
Well, and that, and you know, I mean, we've been having a lot of fun with Destiny.
No, absolutely, absolutely. But you know, I was hoping Master Chief Collection would get him going, but that didn't. He's a huge
Halo fan.
I've been
playing a bit of that.
Yeah, how are you liking it?
It's fun. I mean, I've never been a huge Halo fan, and the only one I have owned is 2, and I don't think I played through the campaign. I don't think I've played through any of the campaigns. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to be getting 5, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I'd kind of like to play through the campaigns of these games or whatever.
Yeah, cool, man.
And I remember Halo, the original, a little bit, but playing this anniversary edition or whatever that is, I was like, it actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, you know? They did a good job. Yeah. And then the 2 they redid, is that the one you were doing now, or have you gotten there yet?
No, God. Yeah. I've been playing... Not on Legendary, but Heroic.
Yeah.
And even that is fucking difficult, man. Yeah. Like, I was like, shit. This game
I'll help you out. I'll help you out. I've played probably a collective 10 million hours of that.
Yeah.
I beat 1 probably, I would say, like 80 or 90 times.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah.
That's all we played.
Yeah, I know.
That's all we played when we were younger. But speaking of Halo 5, in the recent magazine, I got... Game Informer, I guess all of the DLC, all 16 additional maps on top of the 20 that they're making, will be free.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. And they're all going to be released by June of 2016. So
basically saying
they were basically
fuck
saying
Bungie and Destiny.
Well, yeah, kind of. I think what they were saying is like I think it's partially an apology for the further apology for the Master Chief Collection being such a mess.
Yeah.
But also, it has, when you have DLC coming out like that, it fragments the community.
Totally, and that's what they were saying.
Yeah, and they're people are starting to like Evolve did that.
Mm-hmm. They didn't like that idea. They do have microtransactions, though, unfortunately.
Huh. And what for what?
They're going to be like these,
shaders
from what I understand, it's going to be like
cosmetic stuff,
and then these cards. These cards that you can also get, I believe, playing campaign and playing, you know, multiplayer, but you can get packs, and they're like, if you get enough energy in Warzone, you can get a Scorpion tank or something, so you use your Scorpion tank card to use that.
Hmm.
If you don't have it, you can't do a Scorpion tank.
And so, it's like a one-time use?
Yeah, I think you just burn the card and it's done.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. I mean,
we'll see how it goes.
That's harmless enough, it sounds.
Yeah.
Where it could be... I mean, obviously, when somebody's just paying and getting the Scorpion tanks all the time. You know, that's
every
kinda,
game.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
You know.
So we'll see how it goes. But
yeah.
I thought that
Warzone
was kinda,
yeah.
Oh, it looks good.
That Warzone looks pretty cool. Mm. It looks like it'll be fun.
God, and Battlefront, man.
Yeah.
That game looks...
Oh,
fucking
though
ridiculous.
I did just hear on the Beastcast that one of the guys from the 404 podcast, the C-SPAN, I think it is.
Oh, CNET.
CNET.
Yeah,
that's it. He's still like he's not a Star Wars fan, but when he saw it, he's like, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
well, it was the first time I heard someone say something negative.
I wasn't. I mean, I thought it looked cool, but
yeah.
I was disappointed. I never played any Battlefront previously, and I was disappointed that it was third person. And
it's,
I know you can go back
third.
And forth or whatnot, but...
It's primarily first person.
Okay, well, the demo that they showed was all third.
No, it wasn't. They showed first person. It switched back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. The fact that there's any third person was a little bit of a disappointment
sure.
to me.
Sure.
So
I'm not
I think for
huge...
some of the stuff it might work easier. Like, I mean, they haven't really talked about like what... Like the Darth Vader stuff, like, you know, like, I'm assuming it's like one person comes in, you know, it's sort of like the fucking big baddie that one person can be at a time.
Yeah, it's a hero character that one person can be.
So, like, maybe for that stuff, it might be easier to be in the third person view. You know,
yeah,
like,
if you're swinging a sword.
Okay,
yeah.
So is it supposedly just for the hero?
I don't know.
Well, no. Oh, okay. I mean, I think like if you throw up a shield, it will show third person because you want to see who's in the shield. You know, I think stuff like that is when they'll show third person. But I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll find out the dynamic.
I
personally hope it. I wish it was all first because that just seems more fun to me.
Right.
Yeah,
I think it's got to be right. I mean,
for
well,
the most
I,
part,
know, I honestly don't remember the trailer now. Like. I can't think.
Well,
of...
it's like the rebel like running through the snow, and then he's like taking down one of those what are they tom toms or something?
The AT-ATs.
The AT-AT, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that one.
Tom tom's the actual animal, right? That he cuts up and
tauntaun, yeah.
Tauntaun, yeah.
What are you thinking? Are you thinking of one of the like walkers?
The bipedal thing.
Oh, the AT-ST, yeah.
Okay, that thing.
Yeah.
Well, what's a the Tauntaun is not...
Tauntaun is that thing that Luke rides in the snow.
The animal.
It's an actual animal? Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought there was
one cuts open and fucking...
Smells horrible.
Yeah. All those grayish so guts. That was nasty. Gets inside. Stay warm.
Gets all cozy like a sleeping bag.
Yeah, that and then he's like pinning somebody down and then all of a sudden like the guy just lifts up and then he looks behind him and fucking Darth Vader.
Yeah, that's pretty gnarly.
That's pretty cool.
So we'll see how it goes. Yeah. I mean, I played some of the other ones.
It's DICE, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played some of the old school ones, I think, on the Xbox, and honestly, it was a blast. You know what sucked, though? The internet was terrible back then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You were jumping around all over the place. It was quitting on
56K,
me.
56K, baby.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't play much of, I think, was 3 the last one?
I think so. I don't
remember. I never played much of any of the Battlefront games, but apparently, I mean... People loved them. Like they were supposed
Dude,
to.
Dude, I saw some of those Star Wars in the theater. Isn't that insane?
The original ones?
Yeah. I saw Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, that one I definitely saw. I don't think I saw anything before that.
What was the one in the middle? So Empire Strikes Back I saw.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I saw that when it was re-released.
I can't believe it. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't see the first one, obviously, because that was like, what was that?
77, I think?
Yeah, I wasn't even born. but the next one came out what?
You could have possibly been there.
Well, okay, yeah. If it's in utero, sure.
I don't remember what the gap is. I want to say 2 years, but I could be wrong.
If it's 2 years, then it couldn't have been. It had to have been the re-release, because I did see it in theaters, but it was like, it had to have been a re-release.
It was two or 3 years.
Yeah. That was when we were like probably late teens.
It might have been like 80, 83.
Yeah, I think it's 83.
83 then I probably yeah.
Well, for the third one.
Yeah, I know I saw like at least one in the theater.
Yeah, I remember Return of the Jedi with the Ewoks and everything. We're like, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. So crazy.
I know
now they're just making these video games that look just like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And technology. So, okay, moving on with technology, virtual reality, what do you guys think?
I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like it's up until listening to people like coming back from E3 talking about it, you know, I was kind of the same way, you know, is this really going to be that great? You know, I want to see how well it works. I mean, it's the big thing, like not ever seeing it. Like it's hard to say.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You could put it on and just be like, I'm never taking this thing off. Yeah. Or you could be like, okay, that's kind of cute.
What scares me is listening to the Bombcast and the Beastcast and listening to them go ape shit about it. Because these guys are huge critics. And, like, they were even saying, Jeff Gershman, like, they were like, he doesn't like anything. And he was, like, speechless with some of this stuff.
Yeah, he's
which is so
excited.
Weird to hear. Like, mm-hmm. What, like, there was a point where he was saying he looked down at his arms and they looked so real and so amazing. And it was this weird moment where he's like, these aren't my real arms, that where he kind of freaked out, where he's like, this is tripping me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so
gonna fuck with your brain.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I mean, what is that, that old gag where you like put somebody's arm under like a cover it up or something and then have like a fake arm on the other side, you know, like in a position like their arm would be. And then like when you like chop the hand off, they still jump, even knowing it's not their arm, but it's like that. When that brain like makes that connection, like if that happens when you're in those kind of games, I mean, that's
pretty
gnarly. That could
be
fucking game changer sort of stuff.
You're getting shot in the chest. You look down, you just see bullet holes, just blood splurting
out
of you.
I remember,
and you're just like, oh my God.
I actually messed around with Minecraft in 3D, just using like the red, blue 3D glasses. Cause for some reason I had a pair for something, and Minecraft had even just wearing that and then like going to a cliff edge, like I would jump off and like you would get the feeling like of falling as you were fucking just looking down, going straight down. And it was fucking Minecraft with you know, old school 3D. So it's like, I can't.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts.
I can't imagine what it's going to be like.
You know, one thing that is a little troubling for me is if everything is going that way, which, you know, maybe it will or maybe it won't, or, you know, maybe it's 50-50.
Right.
That it could be so desensitizing, and where it's like, I don't know. I see it almost becoming
like
a problem.
Dulling you.
Like, okay, what was? Do you remember Strange Days? Where it's like you just want to live in that world, like right. all the time. It's like it's gonna take you away from reality, potentially too much. Like if it's pushed so far again,
it's just
like
another screen that pulls you away. Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I mean, you sit in these worlds for so long, like looking at it in the kind of way that you look at your own world, like
well,
in a three-dimensional virtual reality.
I mean, even just playing World of Warcraft, like,
oh, you'd be done.
Like you get so, like when I was younger, I get so cracked out on that and just being in, was Azeroth or whatever, you know, just looking at a flat screen at an avatar, you know, and you just like, it just consumes you. So now you're putting yourself even more into that world. It's like, you're gonna lose.
Oh, you're shutting out the other world. I mean,
you're gonna
the
lose
goggles
sense of
you
yourself.
From, oh, yeah. It will be interesting. I don't know.
So I don't worry about myself. I worry like about the next generation, like where their head's gonna be at. Like we're gonna be relying on them to change the, like we talked about, helping heal the world and the globe and everything, and they're going to be, I mean, who knows what they're going to be doing.
Paying for all this coal that powers the place that makes all the VR.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And just like,
they're like,
yeah, so, coal's awesome because it gets me the hell out of this
so
regular reality.
So we could
reality.
Use solar energy, but it doesn't, can't quite power those VR
they're
headsets.
Be, they're going to be,
fuck it, coal.
Coal, use coal.
Non-stop.
Yeah.
They're just going to be
just
floating.
Just use dolphins.
And get those Ethiopians shoveling coal.
Yeah, just Ethiopians shoveling coal and dolphins, horse meat, whatever we need. Keep those VR coming.
It's going to be like the Matrix.
Yeah.
Start using humans for energy.
Oh, dude, let's do it. Let's just burn humans. Yeah, we have too many. We have too many. Absolutely. Fuck. You have asthma? Get in the fire. Shut up.
That's weird.
Oh, man. Well, we came, you know, full circle. We found out how we're going to power the world. We're going to burn humans and eat bugs. We'll be fine. We'll be fine in our virtual reality.
There's going to be nothing else.
Yeah. Just only jack in.
The scorched earth, only roaches remain.
Mm-hmm.
Our only food source.
They're going to be delicious, too.
God.
Oh, man. Crunchy. I can't wait.
I do like crunchy things.
Johnny Roachitz. Let's go over there and get a burg.
Oh, jeez. Bugger King.
Roach Lobster.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Roaches as big as lobsters. You get to pick your own out of the fucking...
Oh, God, that's horrible. Their fucking antenna are just...
So gross.
In your face.
Curling in your, around your ear
oh,
and shit.
Jesus.
Oh, God. It sounds delicious.
Yummy.
I can't wait.
Dinner is served.
Red roaches.
Got somebody in a giant roach costume coming and scaring all the kids.
Eat me, eat me. Something to look forward to, you know? They say it's a great protein. Crickets.
Yeah.
Crickets, they say. That's
bug protein.
Yeah, that's the next thing. That's the next thing. And another sci-fi thing I thought was really interesting. I was watching Total Recall, the newer one, which isn't better than the old one, but it's great in some ways. One of the things I really liked was how there was an elevator that took you from one end of the world and shot all the way through the core to the other. And when you get to the center, it says prepare for gravity reverse because obviously, So... gravity would reverse and all the seats would turn the other way and then it was launching up and all of a sudden they're in Great Britain.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just like, here we are.
Hey, that's cool.
I was like, what a commute. Can you imagine?
Sort of makes me think of that thing that Elon Musk is trying to do.
Which is?
That fucking like tube transporter thing.
Really?
Have you not seen that?
Nope.
No. Is it just called a cannon?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's like, a tube that... you know, extends from wherever the fucking, you know, like...
Yeah, like the
like
vacuum
rails.
Tubes.
Yeah.
And where you're putting old checks through the teller.
Yeah, and you get a fucking capsule and you get in and it fucking shoots you to wherever you're
going.
That's
the Jetsons.
Yeah. And it's supposed to go, like, incredibly fast. Like, much faster than any conventional transportation.
Can you imagine getting in an accident in that? Your pink mist is pink mist.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Vaporized. That's, I mean, if he can figure it out, that'd be awesome. Can you imagine just going that fast, like looking out
That's
your
how we
tube
control
and just,
the population.
It's just a smear of a smear. Yeah, exactly. You just get in the tube, everyone, and they just blast them into each other. It's so hard, just makes
Thank
diamonds.
You.
Yeah.
You're well, and he's just like, you're welcome.
Two humans hit so hard they turn into coal and then immediately go sent to become VR.
Now you're energy.
That's great. Pure energy. That's what's playing as you're flying down the runway. Oh, man. Something to look forward to. let's finish this podcast off. I mean, usually Mike fills in that 15 minutes, which but we don't have him here. So
EPA, would that be the Environmental Protection Agency?
Yeah, that's a total Mike-ism. Yeah.
Yes, that would. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then we say a bunch of information, and then he doesn't listen, and then asks a question about
so
it.
So I've got a question then. Do they actually protect the environment?
Does the EPA like TNA? That's probably something you would say, yeah. hopefully I nailed it. But do you guys have anything left to say? It's the end of the podcast. We talked about the robot apocalypse, coal. I mean, we covered pretty much everything.
I watched that Lazarus Effect.
Oh,
no. Movie. How was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it wasn't too good.
Not great. Like, it sucks because the first half of the movie, like, honestly, I think I enjoyed the first half of the movie better than the second half.
Really?
Because it just eventually turns into, like, fucking
weird.
Stupid
it usually does.
Slasher. Like, sort of just, she's gonna kill everybody, okay.
You can tell the first half is always the pitch of movies. Yeah. You know, it's like, check it out, this is the shit. Well, where's it go? Well, we only
nowhere.
Read the first five pages, and we liked it, so.
They hardly explain what the fuck is actually going on, and it's like, God, there could have been such a cooler fucking shit.
So the premise is they were working on a way to bring people back from the dead, right?
Yeah,
from
well,
dead. And it
yes
wasn't tested,
and no.
right? It was, like, in the works?
Yeah, well, they test it, and they do it successfully, and then... There's an accident, and they have to test it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it works again, but with unintended consequences.
Yeah,
you know, so it's which is cool. Like up until that point, I'm like, all right, and then it's like stuff starts happening, and I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool actually, and just like, oh, she's just yeah, oh, she's using all of her brain now. Oh, she wants to kill everybody.
Makes sense. Yeah.
All right. Well, that
sounds like Lazarus.
That's what happens. Yeah. Put two and two together. Use more of your brain. You want to kill everybody. So
that's cool. I don't know if I saw any new movies. Finished up Daredevil.
Oh, nice.
Really like that. It's good. I think you guys should check it out. If I know you have, you probably haven't.
Not yet.
Watched a couple more episodes of what is that one movie with the girl that comes out of the like bomb shelter?
Kimmy Schmidt
one, yes.
The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, so pretty funny. Enjoyed a couple episodes last night of that. Not a lot of TV lately, though.
I watched the first whole season of True Detective.
Finally. Oh, yes. I did see the two episodes of True Detective.
Yeah.
How did you like the first one?
I really liked
Isn't
it.
Isn't it good?
Yeah,
Isn't that
it's
fucking
very good.
Awesome.
So what do you guys think of this next season?
Have you watched the...
I've watched
you're,
both the
you're
episodes.
Current now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like they haven't launched it the same way they did with the first one. First one, well, like...
It's definitely different.
It's definitely different. And I think, you know... Without,
it's a slow burn right now.
It's a very slow burn.
But they finally kind of
well,
ramped it up. Yeah.
Both times, like, you know, I was reading something on one of the websites that about it. You know, and they're kind of like, yeah, it's like 55 minutes of just seemingly nothing. And then both episodes so far have just kind of like ended.
With
you know,
a
not
bang.
The first one so much, but the second one, obviously, yeah. But it's like.
It's yeah, I feel like they're really trying to make these characters complex.
Yeah.
And they
it's
try
a lot
so
of
hard, you know,
building.
And it's just building, building, building. And it's. I think it's getting almost convoluted to some degree.
If
you're
it
like,
keeps going the way it's going, it's going to be fucking a train wreck.
Oh, yeah.
But I have a feeling they have something cool in store.
I hope so. Yeah.
I mean, that figure, that you know...
Of end of episode two?
Yeah, that entity, I don't know what you want to call it. That's pretty fucking
I have a
creepy.
I have a feeling there's something we haven't even scratched the surface on
Oh,
yet.
Yeah, totally.
You know,
we
like,
got plenty of episodes.
We
till
think
the...
like it's more straightforward than what's actually going to be happening.
There's a cool little hook. I won't say it right now, but I'll tell you guys after that. I saw online that tied into what happened at the end. Mm-hmm. That was part of the episode that I thought was kind of cool. So if you haven't seen that episode and you take a look at it, to make sure to pay attention to like pictures in the background.
Okay.
It kind of there's little like hints. Potentially.
Cool.
Yeah, it's kind of
sex house. Out.
Yeah, and the dungeon place that he was at. I saw the second episode of Brink. The Brink.
I've watched both of those.
It's
too.
Okay. It's okay. I mean, I'm still.
I gotta say, I think Tim Robbins is the best part of that show so far.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Him and his interactions with the president and his, you know, assistant or whatever. Yeah.
What like is he anyways? He's a senator? No.
I think he's the Secretary of State.
Yeah, because he's part of the cabinet.
Yeah, he's the Secretary of State. And he's the other great. Guy he was arguing with.
He's funny.
I like
the
him.
Secretary of War, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like Jack Black's character, like I'm not sure entirely.
Yeah,
how
I mean, the
characters,
some of them are good. Some are, like I like the pilot. There's good
it
characters.
Seems so
in it.
All the over the place.
It really is, but like it makes it interesting because you're just like, what the hell is happening? Like,
so are they in the brink of war?
It feels like everything is
supposedly.
Everything is like every situation they're in, they're at the brink, and that's what I feel
there's
is interesting about it.
There's been a coup in Pakistan or something like that, and. Shit's fucking hitting the fan.
It's just okay. Every
but it's like
character
it's not
is,
as serious
yeah.
as it seems. You're yeah. just yeah. not seeing it from. We're seeing it from both sides, mm-hmm. but you know, obviously, both sides like, oh my god, like the, it's fucking.
It's an interesting approach.
Like, yeah,
you know, I check it out for now.
Would you call it a dark comedy?
I'd say like
dark.
A heavy comedy in the sense that like. They're having fun and making light of like kind of serious stuff, and not in like a. Like shameful way, like this is it feels a little bit more real as opposed to just like okay, we're just gonna like shit on one guy and just like just like make fun of all of it's
kind of a look at like oh you know like the stuff that's supposed to be super serious like hey maybe it's sort of not like you know like maybe I mean the stuff we don't know you know like we never hear about and we don't know that's going on like mm-hmm. I mean you know like. Shit, like all that stuff could actually happen or have happened, but we would have no idea.
Right. Most of the characters I feel just aren't taking themselves seriously, is what it is. Like, you know, there's these high officials that are obviously like sleeping around with everyone. There's guys that are like, you know, going and scoring weed thinking it's no big deal, and then they're like prisoners of war. Like, there's pilots using drugs while they're doing a mission. Like, it just seems like everyone's just making poor decisions. In this like heavy situation, so
okay,
so it's kind of cool
not knowing that everybody else is doing the same.
Everyone is just a mess.
Everybody's
but the guy that's in charge now, like after he gets off the phone and he like I thought that was pretty funny, like how he was just sort of like I have no idea what I'm doing.
I can call anyone right now. he's like the bad guy and he's just like I just called the president, no big deal. And he's like it's pretty funny. Well let's put this one in the books, you know.
We don't have any books to put this in.
We sold those for more studio time.
We burned
the e-books.
We burned them. We needed some
podcast money.
Some heat.
Well, speaking of which, send your checks to podcast@condogreisler.com along with your questions.
Email those checks.
Email those checks over, scan them. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Check us out.
Are we really?
I mean, we are. I mean, we aren't, but Condo Grayskull
like if
is.
Condo Grayskull exists.
If a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound?
Well, hopefully some of our fans make a sound. You know? We'll see what happens.
If you don't actually have any fans, do they make a sound?
All right, let's not get down that far into the rabbit hole.
No, you know what's actually cool is we went on a nice ride on Sunday. A very nice ride.
Yeah.
And our good friend Alex was telling me that you know he's been listening a lot. So,
yeah,
which
that's
is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hi, Alex. I miss you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we finished up 40 miles that day.
Yeah, well, yeah, you guys did. I don't know.
You did 30.
It was only a little over 20, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Because
we had to ride up nine or ten
each way.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's crazy. But there was a lot of hills.
Dude, that was
cool.
Some intense inclines.
Yeah.
But they're out there, which is nice.
The fans?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
About the hills.
It's Alex and my mom. and Daniel.
And Daniel.
And Daniel. Yeah. No, there's quite a few others, you know. They're hanging in there, and we appreciate it. But we're just waiting for that
hey,
one.
Hey, we do this for you.
Yeah, we do.
We don't do this for us. We do
no,
this
I've,
for you.
I every single time I don't want to do this.
78.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, when I was walking up here, I'm like, well, I do this a lot. I take this path, and I arrive at Joe's, and this is something I've done many times. How many times have I done this? Well, I know I've done it at least almost 78 times, which it doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know.
It's a lot.
Obviously, I've done it a lot more than that,
sure.
But I don't know. It was just something. It was just a weird thing that dawned on me.
Yeah, 78 times I just stayed at home.
Yeah, exactly.
And waited for you guys to get here. Well, with that, you know, stay nerdy and stay dirty.